Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got open lines here at the top of the hour and plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you have a question about a scripture passage, maybe there's something you heard in church just this past weekend and you're still scratching your head wondering, well, let's make it a conversation together right now, 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but you've got something new on your mind tonight, by all means, join us as well. We've got four open lines right now on this Wednesday evening. We are wide open with very little wait right now. It's a unique opportunity for you to get in with your call, 877-655-6755. And just a reminder, we've got our Twisted Scripture Conference, and it's coming up. It's coming up Saturday, November 16, in Dallas, Texas. And let me tell you, we're excited about this one. It's our first ever Twisted Scripture Conference based on the new book, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. It's going to be a weekend to remember. It's happening at the Hilton Garden Inn in Las Colinas, which is in Dallas, Texas. And you can find out about this event on our website. Right there on our homepage, you'll find the Twisted Scripture Conference banner. You can click on that banner and discover everything you need to know about the event and how to register. It is happening Saturday, November 16. So that is right around the corner, just about a month away. And we would love to see you there. This is very different from many of our other conferences that we've done in the past. It is centered on the most challenging, the most difficult passages in the New Testament, and what is the truth that sets us free in each case as we look at these important passages. So everything from "Depart from me, I never knew you," is that about a Christian? Could a Christian lose their salvation? To "What does it mean to be lukewarm? Is God going to spew you out of his mouth?" And on it goes, everything from forgiveness and identity in Christ to the final judgment and what that looks like, to health and wealth and healing and prosperity and all of those topics covered from a scriptural standpoint. So we're super excited about this conference coming up. It's our first ever Twisted Scripture Conference happening Saturday, November 16. In Dallas, Texas. So join us for that. Go to andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. And right there on the homepage, you will see the Twisted Scripture Conference banner. All right, well, that number, we've still got open lines, 877-655-6755. We're going to go to Michigan now, and we'll talk with Benita. Hi, Benita.
Hi, can you hear me well?
I can hear you great. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay, wonderful. Thanks for taking my call. I was calling about speaking in tongues, and when Paul said, "I pray in tongues and I will sing in tongues," and then versus the one that's in Acts 2, and the differences between the two, if you could kind of give an understanding, and I'll actually take my answer off the air, if that's okay.
Yes. All right, Benita. That sounds great. Yeah. I mean, first of all, there's no reason to believe in two different types of tongue speaking. You look in Acts chapter 2, and you're absolutely right that it is human languages, and it is designed to share the gospel message. You look there, and you see that there are people, people hearing the gospel message, each one hearing it in their own tongue, to which they were born. So that is human languages. It's not an angelic language. It's not a heavenly tongue. It is something human. So today it would be like Russian or Swahili or English or Greek or Chinese or any other human language to which people are born. And that's what Acts 2 says. Now you pop over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and for example, you see there a passage that many have tried to say, well, you know, that's a different kind of tongues. And they're going to try to tell you that that is a private prayer language. Well, the first thing you want to notice about 1 Corinthians 14 is that there is nothing private about it. The entire chapter is about a church service. Nobody is at home in 1 Corinthians 14. Nobody is in their closet in 1 Corinthians 14. Nobody is praying one-on-one in 1 Corinthians 14. What we see there is people praying within a church service. And that's the entire context of that chapter. And that's why Paul is saying to women, he's saying, hey, don't run over other people in this church service. We want women to be silent. And then he's saying to prophets, hey, don't dominate this thing. We want the spirits of the prophets to be subject to the prophets. We want order, not chaos. We want this thing to be organized. And then also, in the same breath, he is talking about tongue speakers. And he's talking about a church service, and he says, let's have two people speak in tongues. Okay, three at most, but only if there's an interpreter. And so what was happening 2,000 years ago is that people were abusing their gift of tongues, and there was no benefit to it. If I'm sitting in a church service with you, and let's say that, let's say that we're in your area, Benita, we're sitting there in Michigan, and I have the gift of tongues, and I am miraculously speaking in Swahili, and you don't speak Swahili. And there are exactly zero people in that church service who speak Swahili. Well, then nobody can say amen. Nobody can benefit from that. And, I might as well be talking to the wall, because the only one who understands me is God. Yeah, I'm speaking mysteries, and only God understands, but 1 Corinthians 14 is saying, Andrew, don't do that. Don't sit in a church service speaking Swahili when there's no interpreter and no benefit to the audience, and only God understands this mysterious stuff you're saying. To everyone else, you sound like a barbarian. To everyone else, you make no sense, and they cannot say amen. So that's what's going on in 1 Corinthians 14. There is nothing private about it. It's all about the corporate worship service. And Paul is simply saying, let's do everything, whether it's women speaking or prophets speaking or people with the gift of tongues speaking. Let's do everything in an orderly manner. And let's also do it in a way in which people are built up. And, you know, there are folks 2,000 years later saying, see, we should be edifying ourselves. Well, Paul is saying the opposite in 1 Corinthians 14. He is saying that if you sit in a church service and speak in tongues without an interpreter, and nobody can understand you, and nobody can agree with you, and nobody can say amen, then you are just doing that for yourself. You are edifying yourself instead of edifying other people. And guess what spiritual gifts are for? Spiritual gifts are for edifying other people, not yourself. So this idea of a private prayer language is not found in any chapter in the New Testament. And this idea of spiritual gifts being meant to edify yourself, that is not found in any chapter in the New Testament. Here Paul is saying the opposite to the Corinthian people. Please make sure there's a benefit to others. Please make sure there's an interpreter. Please make sure that other people can say amen. Otherwise, skip the whole thing. It is totally worthless, because the only person who understands you is God, because you're speaking a foreign human language that nobody else gets. So you might as well speak, if you're sitting in Michigan, you might as well speak in English. God understands English. If you're sitting in the middle of Argentina, you might as well speak Spanish, because God speaks Spanish. If you're sitting in the middle of Beijing, China, you might as well speak Chinese, because God speaks Chinese. And so does everyone else surrounding you, so it will edify them, they will understand you, you won't look like a barbarian, and it will be building up other people, a benefit to the body of Christ. And that is why spiritual gifts exist in the first place. So, Benita, I hope that gives you the clarity that you're looking for, my friend. I certainly think that it's unjustified, based on Scripture, it's unjustified to say that there's some sort of second type of tongues that is a private prayer language meant to edify yourself. The Bible is actually saying the opposite. All right, let's go to another caller in Michigan, and we'll talk with Laura. Hi, Laura. You want to talk about tongues too, huh?
I do, because so when you're in a church service, and because sometimes I'll go to a church service where people are speaking in tongues, and I'm so really very much uncomfortable. Yes. And so if it's not, so is it not? Is it from a dark side? So if people are there and they're speaking in a tongue that's not edifying anyone and no one understands,
right?
Where is this language? What's the source? I've always wanted the answer to that.
Sure. Well, there's two possible answers to that. I mean, we could try to find a devil under every bush, so to speak, and say that it's all demonic all the time. But I think the more likely answer in many cases is that it's just folks who have talked themselves into doing it. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, you can go to some churches and they will offer you a class. There's a class on tongue speaking. You can go to some churches, and if you will walk the aisle at 9:37 during their 9 a.m. service, well, at 9:37 they have a group up front that is speaking in tongues, and if you will stand in front of them and repeat after them, then they will essentially tutor you and teach you in the art of speaking in tongues. Now, here's the problem with that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that spiritual gifts are taught. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that spiritual gifts should be imitated, and that if I just imitate you long enough, that it'll become natural for me. And then lastly, I'm thinking of a study that was done by a linguist, and when he went around and recorded a number of churches where tongues, or so-called tongues, was being spoken, he recorded those conversations, and then he transcribed them, and then he analyzed them. And guess what he found? He found that there was not a single unique sound in any of the tongue speaking. There was not a single consonant. There was not a single vowel that was different than the people's native language. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that it's certainly not a heavenly tongue, that it's not a prayer language, that it's not something from angels. It happens to, in the United States, all the tongue speaking happens to line up with the consonants and vowels of the English language. If you go to Spain and listen to some of the babble that might be taking place there, known as tongues, well, all of the consonants and vowels will line up with Spanish, and so on and so forth. I mean, this is the phenomenon. So you say, well, where's that coming from? And certainly, you know, the enemy is happy to offer a counterfeit at times, but I think that, quite frankly, it's just human learned behavior. And people start repeating syllables that they're able to produce in their native language. But, for example, if the syllable ba and ta exist in my language, which they do, then, as in the word bottle and talk, well, then I can go ba-ta and ta-ba and ta-ba-ba-ta, and then I can go from there and begin to put syllables together. And if I'm really skilled at it, then I can have other people imitate me and follow me as well. So, you know, in my opinion, that's what I believe is happening. Why do I believe that? Well, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to be ugly towards anyone. I'm just saying, when I look in the scriptures, I don't see a single instance of babble. I don't see a single instance of any nonsensical language. I don't see any reason to believe that tongues is angelic or heavenly. It's certainly in Acts 2, we're told what it is. It's a human language to which people are born, and it's God miraculously enabling people to share the gospel in a language that benefits the hearer. And, you know, people will say, well, Paul said, what if I, you know, even though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but don't have love, so maybe Paul spoke in the tongues of angels. Well, that passage is all hyperbole. I mean, Paul is saying, you know, even if I give my body to be burned, which we don't know that Paul did, and even if I had the faith to move mountains, which we don't believe Paul ever moved a mountain, and even if I spoke with the tongues of men and angels. So it's an even if passage. And the importance of that passage, it's all about love and how love trumps everything else. So there's no reason to take a passage like that and distort it. Paul never moved a mountain. He never spoke angel talk. And he never gave his body to be burned. It's all hyperbole for the purpose of stressing love. So, Laura, I hope that brings more clarity for you. And, you know, I know the next logical question is, well, what do I do? You know, you either endure people being distracted by that, because that's exactly what happens. They're distracted. They elevate that so-called gift above every other gift. They say you're not saved in some cases. They say you're not saved unless you have that gift. So they start denying the diversity and variety that exist in the body of Christ. And they say you're not saved if you don't have it. So that right there should tell you they're already neglecting sound teaching and sowing seeds of doubt in other believers, telling them that you must have the same spiritual gift as me in order to be saved. You know, that would be like, well, me running around saying, you're not an encourager? Well, then you're not saved. You don't have the gift of love? Then you're not saved. You don't have the gift of hospitality? Well, then you're not saved. Isn't it interesting how we've elevated the gift of tongues, which is, well, it's listed dead last in Paul's list of useful gifts in the church. It's listed dead last. And I believe that's because it's evangelistic. And as the gospel gets out in all kinds of human languages, it becomes less and less necessary. So, Laura, I hope that gives you more food for thought there. Reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, that number, 877-655-6755. Let's go to Ohio, and we'll talk with Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. What have you got for us tonight, Kevin?
Oh, man. Okay, I was just taking in what you were talking about, tongues, but that, and it kind of, wow. Well, let me get to my question. I'm trying to soak all this in. The question, I had two questions. The first one was, why did God create Lucifer if he knew he was fallen and sinned against him? And okay. My second question is, when was hell created? Because in the Bible, it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but it never says when he created hell. Like, was it when everything was created or after Lucifer fell?
Okay. All right. Great question. I mean, first of all, what I would say is this, that you've got a situation involving God's love. I mean, you know, God creates us. He knows we're going to mess up. He knows that we're going to fall. He creates Satan. He knows Satan is going to fall. He knows there's going to be an entire disaster that is, you know, the result of this creation. And yet he goes forward with it. He's omniscient. He knows the future. He knows tomorrow. He knows 1,000 years from now. And yet he proceeded. So you say, why? Why would he do this? Well, I think the short answer is love. And love always offers us a choice. God is not interested in some sort of coerced love. He doesn't want affection from us that is forced. we love because he first loved us. So he's the initiator and we're the responder. But he also says, don't harden your heart. He's warning unbelievers today. He wants none to perish, but he's saying, please don't harden your heart. So we are encountering a Holy Spirit who is a gentleman. And that's the nature of God. God is always going to let us choose. He's going to let us reject. That's what we see in Lucifer. That's what we see with Adam and Eve. That's what we see with people today. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. We have a choice here, and that means that we get to live from our core and make choices that matter. We're not puppets. We're not automatons. We're not victims of the great puppet master up in the sky with strings hanging down, controlling our every move. And yet God knows the future. People ask about this all the time, and I just don't see it as a contradiction. Kevin, what I see is, let's say that I could tell you through looking into a crystal ball of sorts, I could tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl next year, and that it's the New England Patriots, that they're going to win another one next year. And I can see that right here in the studio, let's say. Let's imagine. I'm making this up, of course. But, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm showing up in New England to control the players. I'm not the coach. I'm not in their heads. I'm not sending them mail with strategies. I'm just telling you that's who's going to win. So I can have a foreknowledge without needing to control their every move. And I believe that's what we see in the Lord. We see this gentleman who is willing for us to reject him and willing for us to accept him. And so that's a beautiful thing because, you know, again, it just highlights that we're not a threat to him. You know, people sometimes look at the sovereignty of God as if we can threaten the sovereignty of God somehow by believing that we have a free will. Well, which God is bigger? Which God is bigger? The one who is threatened by our choices, or the one who works in the midst of our choices and even works all things together for good for those who love him? So I would say, you know, the idea that God allows us to choose, that's part of what love is. And then just relationship, knowing that, you know, no matter what the enemy, who is only a fallen angel, no matter what the enemy throws at us, well, you know, God's got a plan. And his plan happens to involve Jesus and the cross and the resurrection and eventually a resurrection body and heaven and life with him. So, you know, that's no match for any plan of the enemy. Now, as far as, you know, hell and when it was created, there's places of torment that are described. I mean, Hades is described in the Bible, and there's this idea of punishment. It's clearly a physical place. It's a place of utter darkness. It's a place of separation from God. It's a place of a punishment that no one should go to. And yet that's exactly what happens when we say no to Jesus, no to the cross, no to God. As far as when, I mean, it's always a bit confusing when we're looking at something eternal. Hell is something eternal. It is outside of the created world as we know it. It is not subject to the sun and the moon and the stars. It's not subject to the revolution of the earth or 24-hour days. So I think we're going to have to leave that as a mystery. Just like heaven is a mystery, just like eternity is a mystery. But what's the big takeaway here? Well, let's go ahead and take hold of the free gift of the gospel. Let's go ahead and take hold of that once for all forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's take hold of that eternal life in him so that we don't have to think another second about the nature of hell or what hell is like. Instead, we can fix our eyes on Jesus and think about him.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.